Good morning, brothers and sisters and Bible scholars. I bring greetings from the Goathwaite Ecclesia, as well as from Brother Terry Redman. Asked me to say hello to everyone. They all wish they could be here and enjoy fellowship with everyone. This morning, as was announced, my topic is keeping busy with the Lord's work. So first, I want to do a little crowd participation. When you hear the words of the title, keeping busy with the Lord's work, what scripture or event from the scriptures do you think of? Brother John? Where's he at?
I'm reading scriptures, but I was saying keeping busy with the Lord's work would be to do a reading. Keep the foremost alive all the time.
Brother David?
I personally drums my remembrance of Christ at the tender age of 12, saying, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business." The Father's business was the work of God, he had to do. 12, he was very keenly aware of
it. Brother Mike, do you have any?
Remember to pray without ceasing.
That's a good one. Any others? So I agree with David. All right. Brother Pat, go ahead. I couldn't hear you. I agree with Brother David. My first thought went directly to our perfect example, the Lord Jesus Christ as a young boy, sitting in the midst of adults, teaching them, and when asked what he was doing, he said, "I must be about my Father's business." Not just right now, not just in the company of brothers and sisters, but at all times, he was and we must be. And we must keep busy with the Lord's work. We must be about our Father's business. We must, as they say, eat, sleep, and breathe it. The truth should be always in our conversations, in our daydreams and in our nightdreams. As we have read, this is only possible through faith. Or we haven't read it yet, but we will. Sorry. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." David said in Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." When I quote this verse off the top of my head, I always say, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my study all the day." Which isn't right, is it? Did you hear the difference? The scriptures say meditation, but for some reason I always replace it with study, which is totally different. David didn't read Yahweh's word all day long, but rather he would read it and think about it and apply it to his daily life. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, it says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the firstfruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Wow, what a great house that they built. A house built upon a rock. Through the study and meditation, they gained great faith, hope, and joy. They didn't keep it to themselves or hide it from others, but through great work, addicted themselves to the building up and encouraging of their brothers and sisters. It had become a part of them that they could not do without. Now, it is pretty much impossible to give this talk without bringing up Christ's parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, we'll ask Brother Lenny to read that, starting at verse 14 to the end of the chapter.
Matthew Matthew chapter 25, starting verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Thank you, Brother Lenny. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These, brothers and sisters, are very, very serious words. And many will come into this class. We are told that many are called, but few are chosen. In all probability, some of us here may hear these words. None of us want to hear them, but we must face the facts. This makes me think of the Last Supper, when Christ said, one of you will betray me. Is it I? Will one or many of us be cast out as unprofitable servants? Is it I? The unprofitable servant had no clue he had done anything wrong. He thought he had kept the talent safe. He probably even did a little work on his one talent before presenting it to his master, washing it up and polishing it, but he never worked to make it grow into more. It was exactly what his master left him, what his master left him with. And so he was unprofitable for not adding to what he had been given. Are we adding to what we have been given? Are we a tree that bears no fruit? Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? So what is it to be unprofitable? How do we tell? There is only one way, by examining ourselves in the light of the Word and honestly facing what we find. Unprofitable means unproductive, not doing the Lord's work. Not doing it to the extent required. Pleasing ourselves. Engaged in our own business, in our own welfare, in our own advantage. How do we use our vacation? How do we use all our spare time? Do we seek pleasure? Or do we visit the sick and the needy and the lonely? Or proclaim the truth? Or help in the work of the truth in other ways? Excuse me. There are many instructions by which we can examine ourselves. Jesus said, when ye shall have done all that is commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. Even at our best, we are taught to say that we are unprofitable servants. We could always have done more. Faith, brothers and sisters, is a great thing. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? James 2, verse 20. What does vain here mean? It means empty, a container that contains nothing. Someone who claims to believe in Yahweh and His promises, but isn't willing to put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, to go all the way, to give it everything they've got. One of the greatest works we can do is on ourselves. Deny thyself. That's what Christ tells us to do. Deny thyself. Say no to your own desires. Deny your flesh. Do you really want to teach this guy a lesson who stole from you? Yes, but I will deny myself. Do you really want to marry this person who won't accept the truth? Yes, but I will deny myself. Do you really want to come home from work, relax, waste the rest of the day watching TV, or reading a novel, or browsing the internet, or etc., whatever you could waste your time on? Yes, I would. But I agreed at baptism that I was no longer my own. I became a purchased servant by the blood of Christ. Romans 8, verse 13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live." What is the work that Christ wants us to do? What does He want us to keep busy with? Reading and studying, visiting the sick and elderly, preaching the word, exhorting and uplifting, loving our neighbor as ourselves? Yes, of course He does. Of course we must do them. But not do them as a checklist that we can check off and earn our way to immortality. When we were baptized, we recognized that we deserve death. So we put to death that old man of the flesh through the waters of baptism. We became a newborn babe in the truth. We are supposed to work and grow and develop our character just like a babe does. My wife says my son acts just like I do, which, by the way, is not a compliment. But he is with me a lot, so he learns to act and to speak and to think from watching me. We, brothers and sisters, learn how to act and to speak and to think by who we hang around and by what we do with our spare time. If we spend our time studying and meditating on the Word of the Lord, and I don't mean studying all day long, I mean studying and then thinking about it during the day, applying it to your lives, applying it to different moments in your lives, then our characters will grow, and they will grow in the right direction. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5, starting at verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." One list of works or characteristics leads to death, and the other leads to life. We will not look at the works of the flesh, but concentrate on the fruits of the Spirit. Brother Rosebot said, "If we concentrate on absorbing and developing the beautiful fruits of the Spirit, the works of the flesh will be choked out and put to death." These nine fruits of the Spirit are one of the tools we can use to examine ourselves. In Philippians 4, verse 8, we read, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So the first work or fruit of the Spirit is love. John 13, verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Love is greatest of all the fruits of the Spirit. We are told in Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." So what is this love that fulfills the law? John says, the very clearly defined foundation which we must constantly keep in mind. This is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Brothers and sisters, it is not the same love that the world is continuing to try to push down our throats with their humanistic views. What Yahweh calls love, they may call hate, or thinking that we are better than they. For example, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, we read, "But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat." In 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 14 and 15, "And if any man obey not this word, by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as a brother, or as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." If you do this for any other reason besides love, and trying to get your brother and sister back, then it's not really love, is it? Brother Gilcrot said also, "Let us never crush love or cast it aside, even momentarily, on the pretext of any other virtue or necessity. What cannot be done in love and kindness should not be done at all. It is so easy to let self-righteousness and natural antagonism and contentiousness trample love underfoot on the pretext of duty. We should always want what is best for our fellow man." Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 43, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." This is true love. The second fruit of the Spirit is joy. We are commanded to rejoice in everything in our lives, good or bad. For all is of God. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And in Psalm 118, verse 24, it says, "This is the day that the Lord has given," or "hath made." Excuse me. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." We should rejoice daily. We should wake up rejoicing. We have been called out of darkness to His glorious light. Paul rejoiced in tribulation. The disciples rejoiced that they were considered worthy to share in the sufferings of Christ. Peace is the third fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus said on the last night, as He went forth to His suffering and death, in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Paul, writing to the Philippians, gives a clear, specific formula for peace. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 6. The five ingredients of peace which he here lists are rejoicing, gentleness, casting all care and worry upon God, prayer, and thanksgiving. A healthy, spiritual, beautiful frame of mind. And the assurance he gives is, if this formula is followed in loving faith, is found in the very next verse. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The fourth fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, or patience towards others. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, that love suffereth long. Love suffereth long. This is certainly the most important part of love, and it seems to be the most difficult. How often does our love break down and the angry, self-righteous flesh appear? Love, true love, suffereth long and is kind. The fifth is gentleness. James says, the wisdom from above is gentle and easy to be entreated. Never harsh or abrupt or willful or selfish. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Agree with your adversary quickly. Matthew 5, verses 9 and 25. This gentleness is the same word Jesus used when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. My yoke is easy. Easy here is gentle. His yoke was gentle. He was the gentle lamb led to the slaughter. The sixth fruit is goodness. Goodness is for sure a work from the Spirit. For Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good. And James declares that all goodness and perfection are gifts from above. In Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Brothers and sisters, to do good and hate evil. The seventh work is faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5, verse 4. Jesus made everything hinge upon faith. All things are possible to him that believeth, he said in Mark 9:23. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Our work, brothers and sisters, is to increasingly build our faith by a constant study of His Word. Here are some things faith has accomplished. In Hebrews 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Men of great faith. The eighth fruit, or work, is meekness. Learn of me, Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Matthew 11:29. The opposite of meekness is pride and desire for praise. The meek or humble, we are told, shall inherit the earth. And finally, temperance, or self-control. We must have control over what we say, over what we do, over what we think. Brothers and sisters, if we can do these works of the Spirit, the rest will take care of themselves. We close with 1 Corinthians 15:28. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.